You know, I really love to preach when God blesses. And I'm glad God called me to preach. I thank him for it. I don't know. He can hit a straight look with a crooked stick. What I say about my ministry. And Paul did say that he was thrilled, said unto me, who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. But at the same time, I'm always afraid to preach because I don't want to let the Lord down. So you need to be in prayer all the time, because preaching is really a supernatural event, preaching and listening both. I can't do what I want to do, but the Holy Spirit can, and the Word of God can. I really want to wean you away from this world, increasingly, and point you to the Lord, Jesus Christ. I had a course on my heart for the last few weeks that I can't get rid of, don't want to get rid of it. You know the course very well. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth shall grow strangely dim, the light of his glory and grace. I wish that God would do that for all of us. So I want to talk about that today, about knowing Jesus Christ is so supremely important. The Apostle Paul was so believed that he preached about a lot of things. He was a genius and wrote a lot of the books of the New Testament, most of them. But when he came right down to it, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, he made his mind up to do this. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was Paul's theme. Jesus Christ, that ought to be all of our theme today. We got a lot of things to compete with that because we're sinners and we live in a sinful world. But we need to say like Paul, I'm determined increasingly not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so, I want to read you a couple of things he said in the Philippian letter because it's amazing. Anything that would stand in the way of him and fellowshipping Jesus, he was jealous of that. And we ought to be also said, a lot of things can get us away from the Lord Jesus. Not essentially because you can't follow his grace if you're one of his children, but if we're fellowshipping him, most of us don't walk with the fellowship we should walk with him, the rich fellowship, as much as we should. We get too many distractions. We let too many things enter in. Sometimes out and out sin. Sometimes just distractions, like maybe things don't amount to hell of beans. You know, like I said in Hebrews, lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easy beset you. So we have besetting sin and it just waits. But Paul, increasingly, I think as he got older, anything that would be a rival for fellowship in Christ, he ought to get rid of it. So let me read you what he said, Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. He talked about his attainments, that he had had a lot of attainments in his life. A lot more than I've ever had or thought about having. But then he said this, and you all say this about anything you've ever attained to or been ambitious about. In Philippians 3, 7, and 8, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss, to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, do count them but dung, I may win Christ. That's an amazing statement. Anything that rivaled the excellency of the knowledge. And he didn't mean the knowledge about. We have to know about Jesus Christ. He meant knowing Jesus Christ. There's a difference in knowing about somebody and knowing somebody. I knew about Judy before I married her, but now I know her. And the longer we've been married, the more I know her, the better I like it. So that is, with Jesus Christ, Paul did become to know Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And guess what happened? When the Lord got him on the road to Damascus, that began a love affair that lasted his whole life. He suffered a lot, but he didn't give a flip. That's not a very cool way to say things, but he didn't give a flip. He suffered. He got to jail. He got beat. He got thrown in prison. He didn't give a flip. He fellowshiped Christ, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. So then he even prayed this prayer. It's an amazing prayer in Philippians 3:10 because now You remember he wrote the Philippian letter. He had been walking with the Lord a long time. This is one of the last letters he wrote. So he knew the Lord well. But he just, this is a plaintive, what I call plaintive prayer, a passionate prayer, Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. You already know him. He said, you don't understand, I want to know more of him. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, he may conform over to his death. That was his prayer when he died. That will be our prayer. Well, I want to know you better and better and better. Because, listen, let me give you a verse here in John 17:3. Let me tell you what eternal life is. Are you ready for this? This is what eternal life is. This is Jesus Christ praying in the high priestly prayer that I mentioned quite a bit lately, because one of my favorite chapters is John 17. So you get a definition of eternal life. This is life eternal. They might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou sent. That's eternal life. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou sent. So we ought to want to experience more of eternal life. You know we have eternal life abiding in us right now if we're born again? If you're born again, you have eternal life abiding in you now. But you ought to want to know more about the eternal life. As we turn our eyes upon Jesus. More of that. The things of this world do grow strangely dim if we really get a hold of eternity. And you young people need to listen to this. We all need to listen to it. You kids, don't waste your life a frivolous, you know, you got to make a living, you got to get an education, you got to do the best you can in what you do. But you still, though, the bottom line ought to be, I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only life worth living when you get right down to it. Now, the good news is, we don't see him right now. We don't see him physically right now. Not right now, we don't. His disciples saw him physically. And then they were so taken with his physical presence. You remember that last scene there in the book of Acts, when he was taken up to heaven in the ascension, they just gazed up into heaven. They couldn't take their eyes off of him. He caught up into heaven. Can you imagine? They love him so much here. He's going away now. They're looking at for him. The angel said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here getting to the heavens? This same Jesus that you see going away is going to come back again." Physically, he will. But you know what? Right now we don't see him physically, but let me read you one of my favorite verses. Ready? You ready for this? We don't see him physically right now. Not right now. Let me read you a verse. A great verse. 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen ye love, do you love him? I hadn't seen him yet. Whom having not seen ye love, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's believing. So we ought to say, God, help my unbelief. Increase my faith. Have me been your word more, believe your word more. Let me read that again. Who, having not seen, you love. I love that. I usually catch my breath when I quote that verse. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And by the way, that was the context of suffering there in 1 Peter. That's good news. But I got even better news. Because one of these days you are going to see him. And you think about that. You'll see Jesus Christ, the God-man, a human being, glorified human being, the God-man, you'll see him. I'm looking at Logan right now. Logan, I'm going to look at Jesus Christ like I'm looking at you on these days. Yeah, I'm going to look him face to face. I can't imagine what they'll be like. I'm going to read you a song. I mean, I love this song, but I want to read some scripture first. So, Brother Zach, give me some proof on that, because that sounds so good. I want to hear something about that. Well, let's look at 1 John 3:2. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. Well, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. We're going to see him as he is. And as he is pretty good, I think, don't you? It's so good that the Bible says there's no need of the sun in heaven because the Lamb is the light thereof. We can't imagine the glory we're going to see when we see Jesus Christ face to face. But he said, when he shall appear, he's going to appear. We shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. And then over in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, who shall change our vile body that may be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. We're going to be like him. Now, we won't be God, but we're going to be like him. That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, yesterday when we was with Jonathan Poe, because the cancer is gone, but he's still not walking. Hope he will walk someday. But I guarantee you one day he'll be walking. He'll be walking and leaping and praising God even better than the guy did in Acts chapter 3. The old guy in Acts chapter 3, he got healed. He just started leaping and walking and praising God. Old John, and you will too. You crippled people, God shouldn't be doing that. You're going to be wonderful. And here's the beautiful thing. You know, I had a good experience yesterday, and it kind of touched old Ryan's heart. I got to ride with Ryan and Cassie, the kid down there, to the thing. We had a big time. And so on the way back home, I don't know where you saw it or not, but the new moon, the full moon, y'all see it? And y'all saw it good in Arkansas because there's no trees or anything, and you know, just flat out there in eastern Arkansas. Right, Randy? Richard Creekmore thing, heaven's going to look like eastern Arkansas. I hope not. But anyway, it was a full moon, so you know what I did? You know what I did? I called my wife. Hey, Judy, get out there and look at that moon. You know why? Because I love my wife and I want to share with her. And that's where you are. If something good happens, I bet old Susan does that. Hey, Jeff, I want to share something with you. And Kiefer does that with Melissa. Just something about it, you people you love, you want to share. I get 10 times more joy at sharing with my wife things than I would just by myself. Well, you know what? Jesus Christ feels the same way. You ready for some good news? Let me give you some good news. Jesus Christ has got a lot of glory. Lots of glory. Lots of glory. He prayed about that glory in John 17, 5. I've glorified thee, and I want you to glorify me, Father. So then, here's what he wants. And so he gets what he wants, because Jesus always gets what he wants. So John 17, 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He wants us to enjoy his glory with him, and we will. He's full of glory. He's satisfied with glory. Isn't that great? Let me read that again. Father, I will that they be with me where I am, they may hold my glory, which thou hast given me. That's beautiful, isn't it? Absolutely beautiful. So we're going to enjoy seeing his glory. And by the way, let's read that song. Why don't we just read it while we're at it? Face to face, over at 369. If you want to get a book out, you can. You don't have to, but let's just read it. 369. I never did know this song until Casey, the locksmith, not the Casey we got here, not Casey Anderson, but the locksmith Casey, old Clyde Casey. I preached his wife's funeral. And so I had never heard this song, and old Casey tried to sing it. He never got through it. But I tell you, I fell in love with this song. And his wife, he tried to sing it, but he couldn't do it. He just couldn't get through it. But I fell in love with this song. Let's look at it. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? With rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Only faintly now I see him, with a darkened veil between. But a blessed day is coming. His glory shall be seen. And this verse always touches me because I do sympathize with people who are having trouble. So I love this verse. What rejoicing in his presence. When are banished grief and pain. When the crooked ways are straightened and the dark things shall be plain. No trouble. No sickness. No death. No parting. Face to face, oh blissful moment. Now this is going to be fun, isn't it? That first moment. Don't worry about dying. Don't worry about dying. Look forward to dying. Blissful moment. You'll never get over that. It won't be like that. You reach a climax and you see the first time and it kind of diminishes. No, it won't do that. It's going to get better and better. Face-to-face with a blissful moment. Face-to-face to see and know. Face-to-face with my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, who loved me so. Isn't that beautiful? Absolutely beautiful. And I want to read you another verse here about God's glory. Because here, you see God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. That's why we read see God's glory. Because that's what it said over 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And when you love somebody, I like to look at Judy's face. It probably embarrass her for me to say this, but sometime at night when she's sleeping, I'd look at her face. I just bring out a big old smile sometimes. Look at that cute little thing over there, a little wife. I do. I mean, she's sweet. So when you look at somebody's face you love, we're going to look at Jesus Christ's face. Every feature will never get tired. Every feature. That's right. and he's going to have a smile on his face. I can put it biblically. You know, isn't it good when somebody you love smiles at you? It just warms your heart. Can you believe Jesus is going to smile at us? What a smile. Because he had nothing against you. In fact, he adores you. Is your bride. Is it you or his bride? He washed all of our sins away. There are lots of scripture talk about that. I won't get into them now. We get too much material. You already saw in 45. The king shall greatly desire thy beauty. Like a hubby just wants that pretty thing that he wants to marry her and just to love her so much. And that's how he feels about his bride. We're going to have a wonderful time at the bride supper of the Lamb. And then have the eternal marriage with Jesus Christ. We're the bride of Christ. All right, now we'll talk about the practical effects. This had great practical effects. Let me read you a few verses of scriptures, some songs. Because like I say, I'll quote that again to you. The theme of my sermon is, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim. The light of his glory and grace. Now, how are we going to do that? I want to recommend something to you. It's practical. Read the Gospels. Read the Gospels. See what it says about Jesus. Read them prayerfully. Read them slowly. Read them begging God to show us the view of Jesus Christ. That's a good practical way to do that. And we turn our eyes upon Jesus. Now let's look at a few verses, because you know what? This world is full of sin. And we got a lot of enemies. We got our worst enemy is our own sinful nature. You all know that if you've been alive very long. We got terrible sinful nature. We want to do good. We make resolutions to do good. We slip back and mess up and all kinds of things like that. And we surprise ourselves how bad we really are sometimes. Inside, we confess the Apostle Paul, in me, that is my flesh, dwells no good thing. Paul said that if you're born again. How about that? In me, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. That's the fleshy part. Then we got this environment we live in, and we know the world's going like that, isn't it? Anybody, are y'all awake? Are y'all awake? Y'all not in a cave somewhere, are you? How fast are we going down around our country? It's amazing to everybody. It amazes all the social commentators. And you young people, be careful. You can be influenced. Now, I'm going to say something that I wasn't going to say, but I'm going to say it. One, I've been kind of alarmed lately because a young lady has got a long lifestyle. I don't think I even mentioned the word right now, but it's bad. A real long lifestyle posted something on Facebook, and he was shocked at some of the young ladies that put likes on that. You better be careful. Something to wrong, something to right. This country we live in tells us that homosexuality, I just use the nasty old word, is right, it's wrong. The Bible says it's wrong. Adultery is wrong. Any kind of immorality is just downright ungodly and wrong. And you got to realize that because you're going to be influenced with this world. They got a lot of philosophical ways to say it, a lot of ways to try to put a spin on it and deceive you. There's some things right and some things wrong. The Bible talks about what's right. My friend, we got to live that way, okay? I just want to say that right now. So we got the world environment, and then guess who's behind the world environment? The devil, Satan. He is mean. You can't imagine how mean he is. He is so mean, you just can't imagine how mean he is. If you think he's mean, multiply that a few million times, that's how mean he really is. He's diabolical. He loves to torture people. He loves to hurt people. All the evil in the world, he's behind all that. He's directing this world system. So we have our own nature, we have the world system, and Satan directing it. So what's the best antidote against all that? So we won't be overwhelmed if you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. That's the secret, really. That's not simplicity. That's the truth. Let me read you the verses in the Psalm. This is over number 129, dripping from the cross. Dripping from the cross. Worldly pleasures, once my dream, tempted by their gloss, till I saw the scarlet stream dripping from the cross. We need to keep our eyes on, like Paul said, Jesus Christ and him crucified as he suffered for our sins and paid the sin debt. And if we will keep our minds concentrated on that, we'll get sick of sin. So we need to stay close to him, don't we? Let me read that verse again. I love that verse. Worldly pleasures, once my dream, tempted by their gloss. So there's a big gloss there. Till I saw the scarlet stream dripping from the cross. And then another verse I got, it's over in a wonderful song that a fountain filled with blood, one of the great songs. And this verse 4 says this, ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wound supply, Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. What's your theme? You know, English teachers say what the theme means, the main thing this paper is about. What's your main part of your life about? The theme need to be loving Jesus Christ. We have to have our job, our education, all the things we have to have, but the theme ought to be, underlying all of it, is I love Jesus Christ. I hope we have a church full of people that do that. I really believe we got a lot of you people that do that. That's why I enjoy being at Grace Chapel. I believe most of your lives, mainly, you're dedicated to serving God. I hope you're all that way. If not, I hope you get that way. That's the only way. I hope the young people, old people, mamas, daddy, everybody, the main thing in our lives are, we have to have jobs, we have a lot of different things, but we need to love Jesus Christ above all else. Above all, that's all that's going to really count at the end. Like that old barbecue place I used to go up there on Clinton, Kentucky, on Highway 51, old Grundy's up there. Old Grundy had the best barbecue you've ever eaten. He'd go all up to Illinois to get hickory wood and cook that barbecue just right. You walk in old Grundy's, he had a sign in there, at the end of the road, you meet God. And I want to meet God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That sign always called me to really perk up when I went in there every time. And then another song, the book's full of these. Oh, Isaac Watts wrote this one, about He Loved Me, He Loves Me, that wonderful song. But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. Tis all that I can do. We need to give ourselves away. So let's live under the shadow of the cross. Now, but I'm not through yet. Not only will keeping our mind on Jesus Christ keep us from sin, we find our all in all in Him. Let me read you a couple of verses here. We find our all in all in Jesus Christ. What does that statement mean to you? Let me try to explain it to you in a minute. That kind of sounds like a kind of a broad statement. He's our all in all. Let's look over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in Him, the head of all principality and power. We're complete in Him. That word complete is translated in other places in the New Testament, filled. We're full of Him. We're filled with Him. That's where we find our satisfaction. He's an inexhaustible fountain of blessing. Let's look over and tie it in with that now. We're complete in Him. You're not complete anywhere else. You won't find satisfaction anywhere else. I think sometimes it takes a lifetime to learn that. Some people learn the hard way. Don't learn the hard way. Take my word, do it the easy way. Start out trying to find your fulfillment in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I want to find my fulfillment in a hobby, in money, in a relationship. All kinds of things we're going to try to find fulfillment and satisfaction in. But my friend, the only place, if you're a child of God, the only place you're ever going to find satisfaction is in walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the right. And He's a jealous God, by the way. You know He's jealous? I'm jealous of Judy. She never had called me any reason to be jealous, but I'm still jealous. I'd pick up a equalizer and let somebody have it. They try to mess my wife. I'm jealous. She's mine. She's mine. She don't belong to anybody else. Brother, that's what Jesus Christ is about, His own glory. Over there in Isaiah 42:8, my glory will not give to another, and I pray to graven images. And so, therefore, when He sees me, He's such a good God, He sees me getting off the beaten path and going after something else too much, He's going to whack me one, get me across the nose of the 2x4 like that old mule, get my attention. And He may have to do it again because we're pretty stubborn. But I guarantee you, friends, He wants us to be a protector of His holiness. So He'll chastise us till we do that. Hebrews 12 plainly says that. I hope when we leave this world, we'll be at the peak of our fellowship with Him. Don't you hope that? Wouldn't that be a good way to enter glory? I'm the very peak of my fellowship with Him. I've had to go through some hard times. I had to learn some things the hard way. I've had to have some chastisement. But I'm learning more and more and more to throw off everything and love the Lord Jesus Christ. We're complete in Him. Now, let me give you a couple of verses on this too. Over in John 1:16, that's the Gospel of John 1:16. You've heard me talk about this before. Of His fullness have we received, and grace for grace, He's an unlimited fountain of fullness. He's just unlimited in His fullness. And you remember what old William Henry said? He said, grace for grace, that means grace in place of grace. So his word picture was, it's like the waves of the sea coming in. It's kind of fun, I'll say short. Here comes a wave, guess what? Here comes a wave, guess what? Here comes a wave, guess what? Here comes a wave, how are you going to stay there? It keeps on going, doesn't it? That's the way the Lord is. Look back at your life. That's the way it's been. You may not know that. You wake up. That's the way it's been with all of us, brother. Blessing after blessing after blessing. It's kind of fun to get older one way. Sometimes it's not too much fun. But I'm enjoying looking back at my life now. Lots of times I'll be in trying to sleep, and all of a sudden the scenes of my life pass before me. I'm amazed how God has blessed. That's kind of the way my daddy died. You know, my daddy got congestive heart failure. And I didn't realize that near the end. But we had a friend living with us, Jerry McMinn at that time, a preacher friend of mine. He's living with us for a while. And I wouldn't spend as much time with daddy as I should have. I didn't realize how sick he was. But Jerry spent a lot of time with him. He said, your daddy, the last few weeks of his life, all he could talk about was looking back and see how good God had been to him. He'd had a hard life, too. My mama died 5 years before he did. He loved her dearly. He had a lot of trouble. But all he could think about, he said, he's just amazed. I can't believe I'm near the end, and God's been this good to me. That's what it's going to be with us, too. Even though you've had a lot of problems. But if you look back at it from God's perspective, brothers and sisters, it's wave after wave after wave. We find satisfaction in him and walking with him. So, let me look at a couple of songs. I'm not going to spend too much more time. But a song is almost as good as the Bible. Not quite as good as the Bible, of course, but still good. How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. John Newton caught this. Let's look at this a little bit. Let's look at this. We're complete in him. We're complete in him. We're complete in him. I wish I could say it better, but we're complete in him. Nowhere else you complete. Nowhere else. I don't care what kind of technology they come up with. I don't care what kind of gadgets they develop. I don't care how much they try to owe us. And that's God's place. But you're complete in him. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Look, what does it do? It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Doesn't it? Soothes his sorrows. We have sorrows, real sorrows in life, but the name of Jesus Christ, when we meditate on it, and the Holy Spirit works in our lives, it soothes our sorrows. It heals our wounds. We got all kinds of wounds. Sometimes I backslide, and what the Old Testament says, I'm going to heal your backslidings, heals our wounds, and drive away our fear. We got a lot of fear sometimes, but God knows how to drive them away. Jesus Christ can drive them away. Even death. I promise you, grace on your deathbed, because the Bible gives me that authority to do so. He tells me that God's children are going to have an abundant entrance to his everlasting kingdom. Welcome at. It makes the wounded spirit whole. Calms the troubled breast. Well, he spoke peace to the sea. He can do it to your heart also. They were amazed. He said, peace be still. I love that psalm that says, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while they're on. That's a good line, isn't it? Brother, he can speak peace to your heart too. It may be raging like the Sea of Galilee was. It may be raging right now. Say, Lord, speak to our heart and calm me down. By him my prayer is acceptance gained, although sin defiled. Satan accuses me in vain, I'm only a child. The devil's our false accuser. The devil's our false accuser. I sinned. And straightway, post haste, Satan flew before the presence of the Most High God and made a laying accusation there. He said, this soul, this thing of clay and sod has sinned. It's true, he's named thy name, but I demand his death. Thou hast said, the soul that standeth, it shall die. Cast down now this wretched sinner to his doom. His justice dead. And thus he did accuse me day and night. Every word he spoke, O God, was true. Then quickly, one rolled from God's right hand, before whose glory angels veiled their eyes, he spoke. Each jot and tittle of the law must be fulfilled, the guilty sinner dies. But wait! Suppose his guilt were all transferred to me. Thou paid his penalty. Behold, my hands, my side, my feet! One day I have made sin for him and died. He might be presented faultless at thy throne. Then Satan flew away. Full well he knew he could not speak against such love, for every word mighty Lord spoke was true. So this verse is, By him my present acceptance gained, although sin defiled. Satan accuses me in vain. I'm only a child. Dear name, the rock on which I build, my shield and hiding place. Oh, Luton had a good day, didn't he? He wrote this song. My never-ending treasury filled with boundless store of grace. Now, this next verse is some verse. This next verse is some verse. Jesus, my shepherd, husband, friend, my prophet, priest, and king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, except the praise I bring. Weak is the effort of my heart and cold my warmest thought. That's the truth, isn't it? But when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as thou art. So what do we got to do? Till then I would thy love proclaim with every fleeting breath, and may the music of thy name refresh my soul in death. I'm going to read one more song in closing. Look over at 188. We sung it this morning before our prayer reading. We sang it, not we didn't sing. We didn't sing it, did we, Judy? Living in the English church, you got to watch it. Did I tell you he's a fountain? Did I say that? Did I say out of his fullness have we received any grace for grace? Oh Christ, he is the fountain. 188. Oh Christ, he is the fountain. The deep sweet well of love. The stream on earth I've tasted. More deep I'll drink above. There too an ocean fullness. His mercy doth expand. And glory dwelleth. And my Emmanuel live. Oh, I am my beloved's. My beloved's mine. He brings a poor, vile sinner into his house of wine. I stand upon his merit. I know no other stand. Not even where glory dwelleth in my Emmanuel's land. But look at this last verse. The bride eyeth not her garment, her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze in glory, for my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of my Emmanuel's land. Folks, listen. I'm going to do some more preaching on stuff like this, the Lord willing. The Lord's really been working with me lately. I want to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be like the Apostle Paul. I want to determine to know nothing among God's people save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And it'll change us. Let me give it again to you. And then keep going to tell what we're going to sing for our handshake song. But I want to go over this again, this little course. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim. The light of the glory and grace. In fact, let's sing that. You know that tune, I think. There's more verses than that, but that's the course. Let's sing that, and then we'll let Keeper tell us what to sing for our handshake. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, the full.